Welcome to the tax update for the week beginning 16th December. We've recently had the publication of draft clauses to appear in Finance Bill 2014, but we begin this week by a consultation exercise which is only going to last a month instead of the 12 weeks recommended by the Cabinet Office on a paperless self-assessment, which is frankly long overdue and proposes to enable taxpayers to receive email and electronic notification of various items of communication from HMRC. This could have significant impact on a number of practices, so I recommend a look and consideration of the four questions asked in the relatively short consultative document. A very interesting case is that of Anne Dickinson, who sold what had been a tennis court separated by a hedge from the remainder of her substantial garden where she lived with her husband at Holly Lodge in Lincolnshire. And she sold it to a development company that she and her husband and a couple of friends had set up for £300,000, and on sale didn't put anything into her annual tax return because she believed it was a disposal of her garden and therefore covered by the exemption which is available under Section 222 as a sale of part of a dwelling house in its garden. She had actually been renewing every 3 years planning permission that she had in the property, and there was a delay between the agreement to set up this company and develop the land and the formal disposal, such that the revenue argued that the company had begun development by starting groundwork, and therefore that which had been disposed had ceased to be part of the garden, and the exemption was not available. The good news is that Mrs. Dickinson won, and the land was exempt from capital gains tax because the only main residence conditions were satisfied. But this is a case that has the potential to affect a lot of people, because the difference between land that has development land value and planning permission is so enormous. As I said earlier, on 10th December, draft clauses have been published for the finance bill. And if you've got a lot of time, then there's about 849 pages of reading to browse through this and respond to HMRC if you think that the draft clauses are ineffective. I've itemised it on the attached notes which accompany this podcast so that the links are broken down and you can select those areas which you think are of interest to you. Now, another interesting case is that of DPAS, which supplied payment and contractual and insurance arrangements to patients of dentists for dentists to set up health plans, improving oral health of the patients. After the AXA decision in 2010, which ruled that it was a debt collection service provided by AXA Denplan and therefore standard rated, that decision had a significant impact on all these arrangements, because the imposition of VAT at 20% makes a big difference to whether or not something is economically or commercially justified. In tax, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. And DPAS changed the arrangement so that they contracted directly with the patient instead of having a contract with the dentist. And consequently, this difference meant that it was an exempt service they were supplying, and therefore they don't need to charge VAT at 20%. As I say, this is worth considering for its impact on any dental clients that you may have, and you might even want to mention the decision in a newsletter to those clients. But just to conclude, HMRC have published a new toolkit and guidance on the Business Income Manual, and it covers the new UK GAAP rules. So it's a must-read for all those who are affected. Thanks very much for listening.